The following program is underwritten by the Christmas City Gift Show.
It's time now to get the hell out of your life. A weekly broadcast with real people, sharing real struggles and offering real hope. Today's show will encourage, inspire, and empower you to face life's challenges with a bold confidence and renewed hope. Now, let's join our host, Ron Myers, the promoter.
Hello, my friends. It is so good to be with you today. I hope you are having a blessed and wonderful day. I prayed for you today, and I know you will be blessed with today's show. The first part of my show, you're going to hear an interview with End Times author Jeff Kinley, along with Billy Hollowell of CBN News. Jeff Kinley will be here on the Gulf Coast in January of 2023, and he will have a conference on the Great Reset and End Times Prophecy. And then in the second half of the show, I interview the lead singer of We Are Messengers, and they will be in concert on Saturday, October 1st, right here in the Gulfport area with Jordan St. Cyr and Ryan Ellis. So it's a great show today. Let's go right now to the interview about the Great Reset.
Jeff Kinley, you have got another amazing new book. I feel like you churn books out like crazy and they're all phenomenal. This one is called Global Reset. Do current events point to the Antichrist and his worldwide empire? That is a title and a subtitle that will definitely grab attention. Why did you want to dive into this book now?
Well, it's a great question. With my co-author, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, we came together and just sort of in a synergistic kind of way, we're both looking at the world and seeing what's happening out there and seeing like that things are coming together with a velocity that we've not seen in modern times. And with the way the world is shrinking and things are happening much, much faster than ever before, it just seemed like the right time to write a book about this whole idea of global reset because a lot of people are talking about it.
Well, and let's dive into that because for a long time, for decades, a lot of people in the theology world looking at the end times would talk about this idea of a one world government, of the world sort of coming together and the Antichrist rising. You know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but essentially that's part of the theology. And here we are in this really interesting time frame in which the Great Reset is this thing that is out there and it's been talked about. And some people have an assumption that this idea that a great reset is happening is somehow a conspiracy theory, but it's not a conspiracy theory. It is happening. Can you tell us a little bit about what the Great Reset is?
Yeah. Well, we like to say it might be a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. That's really what's going on here. And really, unlike past times that people have looked at, like the United Nations or the League of Nations or European Community, those type of things, and thought, well, those things could kind of be foreshadows. But now what we've got going on is this call for a great reset. But essentially what that means, it comes out of a man by the name of Klaus Schwab, who is the founder and president of the World Economic Forum. He founded this organization in 1971, and every year since then, they've been meeting in Davos, Switzerland, with all the global elites flying in from all over the world, discussing how can they change the world fundamentally. And he's come up with this idea called the Great Reset. And of course, people who have computers know that sometimes you have to reset your computer or reset your phone to kind of reboot it again so it can work properly. Well, they believe that the world is not working properly. It's not equitable. It's not honoring the planet. It's consuming too much energy and too many natural resources. So what they want to do is they want to reset the whole planet and basically replace capitalism with socialism, replace nationalism with a one world government. And they want to essentially make all people, in their words, equal before under one government. And of course, we know that that's not really possible because there's not the Prince of Peace who's controlling all this. But that's the idea. They want to reset the world. They want to take it away from basically what it's been for centuries and remake it in their own image.
You know, and it's interesting looking at all of this in light of COVID, right? COVID was something that, you know, really sparked a lot of conversation. Well, how does the world respond to this? What do we do next time there's a pandemic? So talk about that a little bit, just how COVID maybe and the reaction to it sort of plays into some of the theories and ideas here.
Absolutely. Yeah, COVID really was the catalyst in this whole thing. In fact, right on the heels of the COVID pandemic, Klaus Schwab, this president of the World Economic Forum, came out and said that this pandemic represents the very crisis needed in order to seize control of all the world's governments, for all of them to come together into one entity. Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, the former Secretary General of the United Nations, they all came out and said, what we need now is a one world governance. And that's a key word here that you'll need to remember, is the word governance, because that means that there's a small group of people that essentially are telling the rest of the world what to do. So what COVID did was it gave them the opportunity, because it created this massive worldwide crisis, and they all seized upon the crisis in different varying ways. And one of the things that we saw, Billy, was the rapidity with how quickly this whole thing spread. With just the technology that is existence today, and how it went to every government. Everybody got on board for the first time, really, in decades, perhaps in history. The entire planet was talking about one thing, from every nation to every neighborhood. We were all on the same page. And that is exactly the kind of crisis and chaos that they're looking for in order to bring in this one world government.
Well, and so it's interesting, because you have sort of the human attempts, right, to fix the world, and they may be completely disconnected from an awareness of any sort of theology, right, or ideology on the other side. You have this stuff happening. We have no idea, is this definitively part of that? Is it not? But what we can say is that it's paving the way toward what appears to be something that scripture tells us will happen. Can you talk a little bit? And I know this is we've talked a lot about this, you and I, it's a big topic, but when it comes to the Antichrist and the one world government, talk a little bit about what we see in scripture and what you believe the Bible is telling us will happen.
Yeah, scripture gives us a pretty clear indication about what we're going to see in the very last days of human history. But you have to rewind all the way back to where it all began. There's a spiritual element behind all that's in formation right now. And it really begins in heaven, Billy, with Satan's rebellion against God. And we read about that in Isaiah chapter 14, where he wanted to ascend to the throne of God. He wanted to be like the Most High. When God cast him down to earth, the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of Satan. In fact, we see Satan trying to bring all the nations together in Genesis 11 under Nimrod to try to build this Tower of Babel, and God scattered them. He says, no, I don't want all the nations to come together like this. When Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, it's interesting that Christ did not, he didn't deny that. He didn't deny that Satan had the opportunity or the authority to do that. In fact, Satan even said to Jesus, these are my kingdoms to be able to give to you. Well, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Jesus called him the ruler of this world. So Satan has control of these kingdoms of the world right now. And one day the Bible says he's going to offer them to one man. And this one man, unlike Jesus, is going to accept that offer. So scripture says there's going to be essentially a 10-nation confederation that's going to represent the nations of the world in the end times. It's going to be ruled over by one single man called the Antichrist. And that essentially will control everything that goes on in the world, everything socially, economically, religiously, morally. And eventually he's going to require them to worship him, which is Satan's ancient ambition anyway, is to be worshiped. So he's going to receive that worship through Antichrist. So what we see right now is simply the infrastructure of that one world government. There are calls for that. And it's interesting, as you said, you know, these are not pastors who are saying these things are going to happen. These are people that are in the secular world, even pagans themselves, these global elites saying, we want this to happen now. And so they're actively pushing for it. And they have representatives in most every government on the planet. Our own president, Joe Biden, ran on a World Economic Forum's motto called Build Back Better, the idea that we tear it down, we build it back better. So it's all coming together nationally, internationally, to bring about the Great Reset.
So there's so much there to unpack, but one of the questions that comes up a lot when it comes to Bible prophecy, and it's something you have dealt with a lot and thought about a lot and written on, where is America, you know, in the end times, right, paradigm? Because there are a lot of questions about that. You look at where our country is, the direction of our country, the feelings that people have about it. You know, is America a superpower still in the end times? Is America forgotten? Are we, you know, I'm just curious what your take is. And I know you always approach these things cautiously, but I want to throw that to you.
Yeah, I just like to say what the Bible says, and the Bible says nothing about America in the end times. I mean, some people have thought they found the Bible, found America in the Bible during the end times. Young sons of Tarshish, or maybe the smooth skinned people, and that Scripture mentions in the end times, or maybe were the great eagle that comes to try to rescue Israel in Revelation chapter 12. But specifically, America is not mentioned, and I think one reason for that, Billy, is because America has been the world's greatest superpower of the 20th century, and we've done a lot of good. We've been an ally to Israel, which has been a great thing. We have spread the gospel over the planet. Like 90% of the gospel has gone across the planet because of America. And yet America right now, I think, is really committing slow suicide. We're imploding from within, morally, economically, socially, culturally, and just about every other way. It's really darkening times in the Western civilization. But to your point, America, I don't think is mentioned, because I think after what I believe happens called the rapture, I think America will essentially collapse and will have to be absorbed into another country or form allies with other countries in order to join this 10-nation confederacy. The Bible's silent about America, and so that's why we have to do everything we can right now to help it.
You know what's so interesting about the Great Reset and all this conversation? You know, Jesus' death and resurrection provides us an individual Great Reset that we can have if we choose it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have God offering a major Great Reset at the end of days, right? And that's sort of the true Great Reset. Can you speak a little bit about what we see at the end of Revelation? Because I think there's a lot of confusion and people don't necessarily understand where things end up in the end.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of listeners right now, a lot of viewers will be saying, boy, if I could just make things right in the world, when's God going to make things right? And the Scripture tells us in Revelation 19 that Jesus Christ is going to return at his second coming. He's going to bring justice and retribution to his enemies. And then Scripture says he's going to cast Satan to a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then six times in Revelation 20, it says there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And Billy, during that time, God's going to reset the world here initially. The God who created the world is the one who can obviously reset the world. And so there's going to be a kingdom of 1,000 years. There's going to be peace, prosperity, righteousness, justice, love, happiness, and most of all, we get to be with God. And I think for every Christian, that is the answer to the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's going to come. He's going to bring his great reset, but it's going to look a lot different than Satan's.
All right. So last question for you, as we dig in to go back to this book, you know, the great global reset, do current events point to the Antichrist and his worldwide empire? As we talk about that text and everything we just discussed, at the end of the day, what is your hope for the reader?
Yeah, the hope for the reader is, number one, to be informed. Many of Paul's epistles were written to simply inform them about what's happening. The more information that we have about what God says, the more we can process that information. So to be informed. Secondly, is to be prepared, is to know what's coming, to understand that I don't believe we're going to go through the time where this global reset is going to happen completely. But at the same time, we need to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ and realize that the time is short. I mean, we all have a certain limited time on the earth, but we may have a shorter time than we anticipate. So just using the time and making the most of our days and serving the Lord, I tell people, yeah, keep having babies, keep getting married, go off to college, do whatever you think that God is leading you to do, but live each day with a sense of faithfulness. And then finally, just anticipate what the Lord's going to do when he comes back, because not only is he going to reset the world, he's going to completely remake and reset us individually, but that doesn't have to wait till the end of time. Each person can connect with God spiritually right now and enjoy their own personal reset. I think that's an important thing to do.
What a great way to close it out. Jeff Kinley, thanks for taking the time today. We'll be seeing you again, I'm sure, very, very soon.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
A night of worship and music. The Wholehearted Tour with We Are Messengers. Maybe it's okay. Compassion International presents We Are Messengers with Jordan St. Cyr. And Ryan Ellis. Compassion International presents The Wholehearted Tour with We Are Messengers. When I need grace. Night of Hope and Encouragement with We Are Messengers, Jordan St. Cyr and Ryan Ellis. Tickets for the Wholehearted Tour with We Are Messengers are available now at wearemessengersmusic.com.
Coming to Guilford October 1st, inside the Immersive Performing Arts Center located on the Harrison County campus of MGCCC. For more information, log on to thepromoter.org.
Listeners, Darren Mulligan, lead singer of We Are Messengers. Hi, Darren. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm excited to be coming your way soon.
Have you been in Mississippi before?
I have, yeah. I'm trying to think the last time may have been when we were on tour with Captain Crowns. Down that way, I think we played in Meridian. So, yeah. Well, and I was looking at the theater. It's such a beautiful theater, too, so we cannot wait for it.
It is. It's a brand new theater. We are going to be one of the very first performances of this size in there, and we're excited that you, We Are Messengers, Jordan St. Cyr, and Ryan Ellis are going to just blow the doors off with the love of Jesus, and we'll get into that in just a minute, but I want to know a little bit about you. How'd you get into Christian music? Did you come out of your mom's womb singing?
No, I grew up in rural Ireland, and to family who love music, you know, my mom and dad love listening to old Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and Elvis and Eddie Cochran, so we had a love for music, and we didn't have faith, you know, we didn't have a saving faith in God, so wonderful family, but I guess I got older, I continued my love for music and played in heavy rock bands, but, you know, life pulled me away from the things my mother and father had taught me, and I guess in my late teens and early 20s, my life fell apart. And I made some very poor choices, did some very bad things, and God rescued me, fell in love with Jesus and the goodness of His grace, His mercy. And so, yeah, music is just an offshoot of that. It's our attempt to share the good news with the world, to love people where they're at, and to allow Jesus to transform people.
Amen.
That's what we're addicted to. We're addicted to Jesus changing people's lives.
I love it. You know, the name of my show, Darren, is called Get the Hell Out of Your Life. It sounds like Jesus just loved the hell out of your life, and now you're on fire to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when you've lived through what I've lived through, and you've been forgiven of the things I've been forgiven of, it really just puts a passion in you and a fire in you to go and to spread that love to the world and to let people see the goodness of God firsthand. And so we write songs about people wrestling with doubt and mental health issues and loneliness and isolation and depression. And our goal is to see the hope of Christ break through into people's lives and to give them purpose, meaning, and a future where maybe they can't see one.
Did you come up with the name of your group, We Are Messengers?
Yeah. I just wanted it to be about something much more important than just an individual. And there's a scripture that says, how sweet are the feet of the messengers who carry the good news of Jesus. And so we want to be good news everywhere we go. And so when we come to Gulfport, our hope is that this band, this team, you know, these fellas are good news to security guards and to people in coffee shops long before we take the stage. And that, you know, when we play the show, that's an overflow of what God has been doing throughout the day. So, yeah, we want to be good news, good messengers to Gulfport.
Well, you know, I was introduced to you a few years ago. You were in Mobile, Alabama. You opened up for Big Daddy Weave, and the road manager for Big Daddy Weave called me because I was going to do them a few months later in tour, and they said, Ron, you got to come and listen to this opening act. And I said, who is it? And they said,
really?
Yeah, We Are Messengers. So I go into this big church, and I'm thinking, I wonder what this is. You know my description, Darren, when I came back, that's a wild man. I like that, Darren. He is just wild. If you don't know Jesus, by the time he's through with his songs and his ministry, man, you just want what he has. You've got a passion, and I just love that. So the people here in Gulfport on Saturday, October 1st, what can they expect with this tour when you and your other friends take the stage?
Yeah, well, they can expect a bunch of men who aren't playing games. We're not in it for some kind of fame or fortune. We're in it because we believe that the message of Jesus is the only one that can transform people's lives. And I think in the last few years, God has really given us a sense of joy and peace and celebration. So you can expect a night where it's rowdy, messy, there's room to come broken. But by the end of the night, I promise you, we're all going to be celebrating the goodness of God. We're going to be celebrating what He's doing, what He's about. And so, yeah, you can expect tears and laughter and jumping and singing and shouting. on a really good night out. You know, in these times, we need more good news. We need the gospel to be presented as good news. So you can expect a lot of dancing. So yeah, if you're weary, burnt out in religion, if you want to come out and celebrate, if you know you need more in your life, this is a great opportunity to come and be introduced to God in a really, really beautiful way.
So that ties into the next question, who should come? I am assuming it's just what you said, people that are tired, weary, need some hope, some encouragement. They just need a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, like a break even, you know. We think it's really important to hit on tough subjects and challenge people, absolutely. But we also know that people need some relief. They need a relief from the intensity of these last few years. So yeah, I would say the show is for everyone. Like, just like Jesus invites everyone to come to the table, we're the same with our show. Come the way you are, and our hope is that by the time you leave, you'll leave different.
Nobody
hangs out with Jesus and doesn't change except people that don't want to change.
That's so true. You know, don't come expecting anything. Just have your mind open, because I've been saying for a long time, Darren, Jesus wants his reputation back. I think sometimes people just don't know who this Jesus is, but I know, because I've seen you, I've heard you speak, they are going to get a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Am I right?
Yeah, and that's a brilliant way to put it. Jesus wants his reputation back. We've done a terrible job for much too long of confusing Jesus with us. We're nothing like Jesus. He's completely set apart, completely holy. He's wonderful. And he's transforming us day by day. So we're becoming a little like him. But we need to make sure that we don't let people be confused with us and with the person of Jesus. He is wonderful, perfect, unfailing. And we're just a bunch of hypocritical men doing our best to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And so there's lots of grace, there's lots of mercy, but the focus is on him, his work, what he's doing, and us just coming around the community and loving them where they're at.
Boy, so well put. Listeners on the phone, Darren Mulligan with We Are Messengers, the lead singer. And know that accent. He's not from North Mississippi. He is from Ireland. And we all talk funny around here, Darren. But let me ask you something. The title of this show is called Get the Hell Out of Your Life. So I like to ask all my guests, how do you get the hell out of your life?
Well, you have to stop loving your life. You know, you have to stop living for two houses, two cars, and a 401k. You have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. You have to be willing to have awkward conversations. And I think really you have to be willing to go back to a first-hand relationship with Jesus, whereby the Word of God becomes central in your life again. You know, so it's very hard to get the hell out of your own way, you know, if all you ever care about is your own life. You know, the scriptures say, lose your life and you'll find it. And so our way of losing our life is leaving our families and our kids to go into a different community every day and share the gospel. That's how we're doing it, and that's how God is transforming us. And we see so much fruit from it. It's a real privilege.
What's the one thing you hear? I know a lot of fans, they come up to get your autograph. Is there one common thing that you just hear from fans that you, how you affect them, or your music and your words affect them?
Yeah, I think the favorite thing that we ever hear is, you know, when we have fans tell us that, you know, we put words to the things they didn't know how to articulate.
Wow.
You know, and so we write songs for people who don't know how to express what they're really going through. And yeah, it's just beautiful when these songs become their songs and you realize it's so much bigger than a band or a song or a team. Yeah, and that's what we really want, is these songs to become theirs and for them to see transformation.
What was the reaction when you, for the very first time, when you heard your first song for the first time on a radio? How'd that make you feel?
You know, you're ecstatic. You know, coming from where I came from, you never thought that would ever happen. Someone from a village of 30 people, you know. And so I don't take that for granted all these years later. And every time that happens, you know, I'm elated. I'm like a wee boy at Christmas, so.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing.
Amen, brother. Well, I've got a couple more questions. One is this. What kind of food do you like? I want something special for Darren Mulligan, and serve it in a big old hollow Blarney Stone. I was
you get me some potatoes, ham, and vegetables, and I'll be just fine.
Potatoes, ham, and vegetables. Okay, well, we're going to take care of you. And one last thing, Darren. I want you to do a personal invitation to anyone listening to come out and see this concert in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Yeah. Listen, if you're on the fence, if you're thinking, you know, whether you should or shouldn't go to this concert, I would say if you want a relief from all of the stress of your life, come out. If you want to dance, come out. If you want to sing, be there. If you want to celebrate the goodness of God, be there. Invite your friends, your enemies, the ones you love, and especially the ones you don't. It's going to be the best show that We Are Messengers have ever put on, and we are beyond excited to be with you. So get those tickets, wearemessengersmusic.com, for all the information.
Well, Darren, thank you, brother. So looking forward to meet you and all the other guys. We'll have everything, give you a good South Mississippi welcome, and we'll get some potatoes and ham and all the good fixings that go with it. And do you ever eat a crawfish? You ever have crawfish?
Oh, yeah, the boys love crawfish. Bear that on. They'll eat that too.
Yeah, okay, we'll fix you up. All right, brother, thank you. I know you're busy, busy schedule. God bless you, brother, and I'll see you very soon, okay?
Ron, you're a good man. Thank you, sir. We'll see you shortly.
A night of worship and music. The Wholehearted Tour with We Are Messengers. Compassion International presents We Are Messengers with Jordan St. Cyr and Ryan Ellis. Compassion International presents the Wholehearted Tour with We Are Messengers. When I need grace. A night of hope and encouragement with We Are Messengers, Jordan St. Cyr and Ryan Ellis. Tickets for the Wholehearted Tour with We Are Messengers are available now at wearemessengersmusic.com.
Coming to Gulfport October 1st, inside the Immersive Performing Arts Center located on the Harrison County campus of MGCCC. For more information, log on to thepromoter.org.
Well, friends, my time is up, and I really encourage you to come out to the concert Saturday, October 1st. You will absolutely be refreshed, renewed, and recharged with life. You can go to my website, thepromoter.org, for more information and how to get tickets. Until next week, this is Ron Myers reminding you, I love you, God loves you, and it's time to get the hell out of your life.
Get the Hell Out of Your Life is produced by Ron Myers Productions and is underwritten by the Christmas City Gift Show. We invite you to come shop with over 250 exhibitors from all over the South. November 11th through the 13th inside the Convention Center on the beach in Biloxi, Mississippi. You can find more information at ChristmasCityGiftShow.com. If you would like to share your story or listen to previous episodes, please visit our website, thepromoter.org. Join us next week for another episode of Get the Hell Out of Your Life. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.